All right, Galatians chapter 5. We're in a study of the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. And the fruit of the Spirit consists of these nine attributes that Paul lists here in Galatians chapter 5. They are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So we usually think of gentleness or meekness as weakness. We want to be strong. We don't want to be weak. You see, gentle people don't get the parking places at the mall. It is a contemptible rather than admirable trait. Very few of us would be inclined to use it to describe people that we admire. Yet Galatians says the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Gentleness. Let's define gentleness. The word is used of wild animals that have been tamed or domesticated. You think of a horse, for example, all that power and that strength, and then you domesticate that animal. You tame that animal. And so gentleness is power and strength under control. That's what it is. And so while that horse has all of the power it always had, that power is now harnessed. It's now controlled. And so this is what gentleness is. Gentleness is power under control. You're still the person you always were. You're a new creation in Christ, but all of that power, all of that you ever were is still there, but now it's harnessed for good rather than for evil or bad. And so today I want us to turn over the reins of our life in three areas. Number one, turn over your personality to the Holy Spirit. Turn your personality over to the Holy Spirit. You see, we like to connect gentleness and genetics as if you either have it or you don't. And truly, in some ways, it is more natural not to be gentle. It may feel more natural to be critical instead of encouraging, to speak harshly to someone rather than to speak softly. You see, the Bible says that's your old self. That's not who you are now in Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's not what it is. I'm quoting Ephesians 2:10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is gone, the new has come. So that old man, that old person you used to be, he's gone. He's been washed away. The Bible tells us that we need to put to death the old self. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, Paul says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So the Bible tells us to put to death that old man. We're to put on the new man. So how do we put to death the old man? By the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we do that. Romans chapter 8 and verse 13 tells us that by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the body. The Holy Spirit helps us grow gentleness in our lives. And we all could use a little gentleness. You just can't use the excuse, you know, that's just the way I am. You know, it's my DNA. Get used to it. And that's the way some people act, but we shouldn't act that way. We should submit ourselves to God and be the humble people that God is calling us to be. Some who have positions of authority don't know how to handle it. And sometimes people who are over ministries in the church don't know how to handle that power that they have or that position that they have. And they can become abusive to others. We don't want to be that. So ask God to help you change. Ask God to help you be a more gentler person, because that's what God wants for your life, and that's what God wants for my life. So that's the first area. Second area that I want to encourage us to turn our lives over to, turn your words over to the Holy Spirit. Turn your words over to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we can be really, really harsh with our words. We can speak harshly to one another. Our speech needs to be gentle. And we're told that only 7% of our speech is vocal. So our communication, 7% is vocal. The rest is all either body posture, facial expressions, all of that. But 7% are words. And so just think about that. 7% of what you say is words. The rest comes through facial expressions. It comes through your body posture. All of that is communicating to people. But we can be really, really harsh with the 7% of words that we use. Maybe it's good we don't use 25% of our words in communication. Maybe it's good we only use 7%. Sometimes we get a little rough with our words. We beat one another up with our words. I want to turn your attention real quick to James. James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, verses 19 to 21, James says here, he says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." And so he tells us very clearly that we need to be swift to hear and slow to speak. That tells you something, right? Be swift to hear. Why be swift to hear? And why do we have two ears and just one mouth? Right? We need to hear. We need to listen. Many of us are quick to speak. We're quick to say things. This text says, be slow. Be slow to speak. Maybe you won't say the hurtful words, the harsh words, the unkind words that sometimes we speak if we're slow to speak. And we're quick to hear. The words that we choose, they show who has control of you, whether it's the Holy Spirit or another spirit. And this is also vital in our evangelism. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, Peter says, to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give an answer to the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. So it matters how we speak in our evangelism. It matters how we talk to people. Some proclaim truth, but they sound like the world around them, and the world notices. The Bible says, "Let your gentle spirit be known to all. The Lord is near." Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. And then number 3 today. Turn the way that we treat struggling Christians over to the Holy Spirit. Treat the way we treat struggling Christians to the Holy Spirit. In Galatians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, "Brethren, if any man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." So if a brother or a sister is caught up into some sin and you know about that, You're supposed to go to them in the spirit of gentleness and try to restore that brother. Bring them back to the right way. There have been many times when brethren have gone to a brother or a sister who's in error, and their words just simply drive people further and further away because they're unkind and they're harsh. They're not loving. They're not the kind of words that we should speak to a person who's been caught in a trespass, who's been caught in a sin. It matters how we talk to people. Too often, I think we handle these relationships clumsily. We don't handle them right. We're insensitive and we're harsh. And that's not what God says here. He says, brethren, if any man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. That's how you do it. In the spirit of gentleness. Not in harsh, unloving spirit, but gentleness. It matters. There was a guy, he and his children went to a carnival, school carnival, and his children won 4 goldfish. And he said, you know, lucky me, right? I've got these 4 goldfish. And so the next day he decided he would go and find an aquarium for these goldfish. And so he went, and there were some pretty expensive ones, and he didn't want to buy an expensive one, but he saw one over there for $5. It had the filter in it. It had the gravel, all the stuff in it. It was just dirty. And so he thought, for $5, I'll take it. So he took that, and he cleaned it, and he put the goldfish in there. And then the next morning, one was belly up. A little bit later that evening, a second one was belly up. Next morning, a third one was belly up. And then a fourth one, belly up. And they went to find out what the problem was. And a friend of theirs asked him, he said, when you clean that, he said, what did you use? He said, well, I use soap. Well, you don't use soap on an aquarium. And so that was a no-no. And so it was the soap that ended up killing the fish. That's what killed them. Sometimes I think in our zeal to clean up our own lives and the lives of others, we unfortunately use killer soaps. We use condemnation. We use criticism. We use nagging fits or fits of anger. We think we're doing right, but our harsh, self-righteous treatment is more than many people can bear. And many people who are caught in a sin and a trespass are simply driven further away rather than encouraged to come back into the fold of God. It matters how we treat people. It matters how we talk to people who are struggling. It matters how you talk to struggling Christians. If you're harsh, you're unloving, it's going to come back to hurt you, and it's going to come back to hurt them. And so this morning, in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You see, for the weary, for the wounded, for the broken, for the bruised, Jesus simply opens his arms and he bids you to come. To come to him. And so this morning, if you're struggling, if life is hard for you right now, we want to encourage you to come. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 15, he says, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And then verse 16, there he says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Maybe this morning you're struggling. Maybe you're caught in a trespass. Maybe there's a sin that's just gaining more and more of your life, and you're losing control of your life to this particular sin, whatever that might be this morning, if that's true of you, you need to come. You need to come to the throne of grace that you might find mercy and help in time of need. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. The Bible says we're sinners and our sin has separated us from God. That's what sin does. In Ephesians 2 and verse 1, Paul says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." When you are in sin, you are dead spiritually. When you're separated, that's what spiritual death is, to be separated from God. But Jesus came into the world and he went and he died on the cross in order that he could pay the debt of humanity's sins. And that's what he did at the cross. And if we will simply come to Jesus and receive him as Lord and Savior, then that gap that sin created will be bridged, because that's what the cross does. It bridges the gap. It makes a relationship with God possible again, but it's only through Jesus. Jesus said, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me." And Jesus says in John 8:24 that you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am He. And so if you need to come and confess faith in Jesus, we hope you'll do that this morning. If you need help, you're struggling as a Christian, you need help, please come. Let us pray with you about the matters that are going on in your life. Whatever your need is, make it known as we stand.